I'm so glad that Jesus is a friend of sinners. How about you?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. These days, one hears so much about authentic, everything from bread to soup. But on a serious note, one might ask, what does authentic Christianity look like? In this chaotic world that claims to be seeking authenticity, what does authentic Christianity look like? This evening, Pastor Brian Grant will share from Scripture three of Christ's own characteristics that must exemplify the authentic Christian church. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of his message, What Authentic Christianity Looks Like.
Jana had been married for just 1 month when we met her in Prague in 2019. At that time, she was 31 years old and the tour guide for a group I had taken to Eastern Europe. We had really been enjoying her commentary, but when she started talking about religion, everyone got very quiet. For Jana said to us, like most Czechs, I don't believe in God. I only believe in karma. The next day we discovered part of the reason why she didn't believe in God. For as she shared her country's religious history, she spoke about the tens of thousands who were killed in religious wars and about the tens of thousands of Jews who were abused and killed by so-called Christians. And then she asked us, who would want to believe in a God like that? After we left the Czech Republic, we visited Budapest in Hungary. And as we were driving beside the Danube River, my wife noticed that for quite a long time, apparently almost for miles, there had been shoes lining the banks of the River Danube. But when we looked more closely, we realized that these were not real shoes. This was an artistic creation designed to memorialize a horrific era of Hungarian history. Jana soon explained that what we were seeing as we were driving along was the memorial of the shoes and was designed to ensure that the atrocities done on the banks of the Danube River would never be forgotten. For during World War II, Jews were lined up on the banks of the river and ordered to take off their shoes. For shoes were very valuable. Sometimes we don't realize how valuable shoes are during wartime, you know, because you either need to use them to wear them or to sell them. So the Jews were told to take out their shoes, and then they were lined up facing the Danube River. And then they were shot from behind, so they'd fall into the river and wash away. Just imagine. Tens of thousands of Jews lined up on the river day after day and shot from behind and killed. Thousands of the 565,000 Hungarian Jews that were killed during World War II. Did you hear the number? Hundreds of the 565,000 Hungarian Jews that were killed during World War II were lined up and killed right there in downtown Budapest, the capital of what was then regarded as Christian Hungary. My friends, no wonder people want to have nothing to do with Christianity. For if that is what Christianity is like, who would ever want to be a Christian? Sadly, so many atrocities have been done in the name of Christ that there are many people like Jana who have little or no interest in anything to do with God. But if Yana and others like her took time to read the Bible, they discover that the message of Christ has been totally hijacked. For the God of the Bible is a God of love. Amen. And this morning I present to you my brother and sister, and for those of you who don't know Jesus, I would like you to know that the God of the Bible is a God of infinite love. A God whose love for us is so incredibly vast, it led him to give his life for us on the cruel cross of Calvary. And so today, in the next few minutes, I want to speak to you on the theme, what authentic Christianity looks like. And I want to take just three lessons from this text we have here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And if you're taking notes, and we invite you to, this is why we have made these inserts available. If you're taking notes, here's the first thing I want you to put down. Authentic Christians passionately love outsiders and sinners. Amen. Listen, real Christianity is exactly the opposite of what is portrayed to be. Listen, a real Christian loves outsiders and sinners. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Then all the tax collectors, I'm reading from verse 1. And the sinners, the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, by the way, you know who the scribes and the Pharisees? The scribes and the Pharisees are the so-called religious leaders. And this is why sometimes don't allow religious leaders to turn you off. The problem is sometimes we allow religious leaders to turn us off. The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, complain, saying, here's what they're complaining. This man receives sinners and eats with them. The Pharisees were very upset with Jesus because Jesus was going against all the norms of their society and was socializing and even eating with tax collectors and sinners. I'm so glad that Jesus is a friend of sinners. How about you? For the only reason I'm saved is because Jesus loves sinners and outsiders like me. And if you don't mind it, I'm going to say, and you. I know some of you may not think you're an outsider, so it's okay. I'm speaking to those who believe like me. They're an outsider, and I'm so glad Jesus loves outsiders and sinners. Amen. My friend, he loves you too, even if you are an insider. Here's the thing, even those who may be against him, he loves them anyway. Even those who think you are an insider and I don't need him, he loves you too. And he died for you just like he died for me. The Jewish people hated tax collectors. You see, for although they were also Jews, now get this, the tax collectors were Jews themselves. But you see, they collected taxes for the hated Roman oppressors. And the tax collectors usually added something extra for themselves. So here they were collecting taxes for the Romans from their own Jewish people. But instead of just taking what the Romans wanted, they added an extra burden to the people and put it in their pockets. Tax collectors were therefore despised and shunned by Jewish religious leaders, for they regarded them as traitors to the Jewish race and totally unredeemable. No self-respecting Jew would accept a dinner invitation to a tax collector's house. You wouldn't dare go. But guess who went? But Jesus shows up for dinner at the tax collector's house. People were bent out of shape. But I'm so glad. Here's the bottom line. No matter what we have done, I may not know your story, and I don't need to know your story. I don't know all the mess you've been in, but the person who knows the mess you're in is our Heavenly Father and our wonderful Savior, Jesus. And he doesn't care what mess you have been. The Bible says he loves the sinners. Amen. He loves sinners. And my friend, if you're listening this morning and you're wondering, is there hope for you because all the stuff you've done, I just want you to know there's hope for the best of us, and there's hope for the worst of us, because Jesus died for sinners. Hallelujah. What a message. The only person who can't get saved. Do you know who it is? You say, is there somebody who can't get saved? Well, not really. But the hardest person to be saved is the person who feels they're good enough. I'm good enough. Sometimes we start comparing ourselves. Listen, when you come to Christ, you know, forget about your resume. Forget about your bank account. Forget about what family you came from. Just remember, you're just a sinner like the rest of us. You may be a sinner with a better bank statement. Amen. But it don't matter. Because of the cross, the ground is level. Amen. At the cross, the ground is level. Every one of us who stands before God for his salvation, we stand on level ground. We all arrive and acknowledge we are sinners. Amen. We are sinners from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. We are all sinners, and were it not for grace, I'm so thankful for the grace of God, for it is grace that has brought me home. Hallelujah for his grace. I want to pause to challenge all our GCA members. May we never forget that Jesus loves outsiders and sinners. For sometimes after Jesus saves us, cleans us up, and puts a few dollars in our pocket, we forget whose we are and may be tempted to only hang out with folks of a certain class. Let's make sure that never happens here. If we really want to be authentic Christians, we must always display the love of God to outsiders and sinners. Amen? We must always display the love of God to outsiders and sinners. I told you this story, I believe, before, but I'll tell it again. Years ago, I had a meeting in our home with a group of church leaders from another state. And after hearing that GCA, we seek to reach people regardless of their race or their social class, they were so surprised, shared with them some of the testimonies in the church. To be honest, let me say it. They had actually invited me to speak at their church. But after my being so determined to emphasize, yes, because they were upset that certain types of individuals were allowed to be members here, they uninvited me. And so I realized that this is a real challenge in the Christian church. That even the Christian church gets to the point where we're formed a social club, a club for the elite, a club for those who have messed up too badly. Yes, we were sinners, but we didn't go as far as the others. You see, we didn't get divorced and remarried. We didn't do all sorts of stuff. We didn't have any craziness in our family. But Jesus died for who? Sinners. It doesn't matter what you've got. And so I just want to encourage you, if you really want to be a part of this assembly, just remember that we're all on one level ground. We don't care if you're broke or if you got money. We really don't care. So don't come here telling us how much you got, because we really don't want to know what you have. All we want to know is the blood applied. Amen. Has Jesus come into your heart? Hallelujah. His blood can wash the vilest sinner, and he can transform us by his grace. Listen, write this down. The church is not a club for Christian elites. It's a hospital for the sick and a place where the hopeless and the broken can be restored and find life and hope in Jesus. Amen? It's not a club for the elites. Thank God there are a lot of elites, you know. Don't get me wrong. Jesus is, listen, he's saving the millionaires and he's saving the billionaires, but he's also saving the person with a totally empty pocketbook. Amen. It's not a club for Christian elites. It's a hospital for the sick and a place where the hopeless and the broken can be restored and find life and hope in Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God. No matter who you are, there's hope and healing available in Jesus. For there is a balm in Gilead that can make the wounded whole and can heal every sin-sick soul. My friend, today, if you're listening to us, you may be here or you're listening to us, I want you to know that no matter who you are or what you have done, if you're willing to surrender your life to Jesus, he will totally transform your life. Do you want a brand new life? Do you want God to transform you? Oh, he's able. So here's the first thing. Authentic Christians passionately love outsiders and sinners. But here's the second thing. Authentic Christians passionately pursues wayward sheep. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who claim, I add that word, who claim, because you're only claiming that you need no repentance. God is very patient with us, but sometimes we Christians can be very impatient with those who aren't living for Christ. Am I right about that? Have you ever found yourself getting very impatient with those who aren't living for Christ? Perhaps they actually made a decision, but they're still struggling. They just can't seem to get it right. And sometimes we are on the point we want to give up. But don't ever give up. Amen? Don't ever give up. Be patient. A shepherd has to be patient. So let us be patient. You know, as a teenager growing up in Jamaica, unfortunately, I saw it happen over and over. For sometimes, individuals in the church would fall into sin, and some church leaders and members seem more anxious to discipline them than to walk beside them and help restore them to fellowship with the Lord. Let us be very careful. There is a balance. The Bible talks about church discipline, but let us not be so quick to discipline that we forget that part of our responsibility is to restore the sheep that has gone astray. Amen? We have a responsibility to restore the fallen sheep. No wonder someone said the Christian army is the only army that prefers to shoot their wounded rather than patiently nurse them back to health and strength. But my friends, authentic Christians must pursue wayward sheep. Let that sink in. I'm not talking about unsaved people now. Authentic Christians must pursue wayward sheep. That Christian brother or sister who has gone astray, we must patiently pursue that wayward sheep. You may ask Pastor Brian, does GCA believe in church discipline? We certainly do. But we realize the end goal of church discipline is not to kick people out the church. Let me say that. And if you want to, particularly those behind me who are younger and may soon be the leaders here, Church discipline, the goal is not to kick people out of the church, but to encourage them to repent and take steps to restore their fellowship with the Lord. And it is going to take patient leadership. When somebody goes the wrong way, sometimes we are so quick we want to kick them out. So write this down in your notes. The end goal of church discipline is to restore straying sheep, not to chase them away. Now let's be clear. The end goal is not to let the straying sheep just keep on straying. Don't misquote me now. The end goal is for us to engage with the straying sheep so that by the grace of God, God could use us to restore the straying sheep. Our goal is not to tell the wayward sheep to hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more, no more, no more. So write this down. The Lord will never give up on his wayward sheep. Aren't you glad about that? Perhaps you're listening this morning and you're a wayward sheep. Perhaps you may even have been disciplined by this church or some other church, and you're out there in no man's land. I just want you to know that God loves you and he wants to restore you and he wants to bring you back. If you're willing to repent and turn, he wants to restore you. Amen. May God work in your heart. Amen. The Lord will never give up on his wayward sheep, for he loves every straying sheep. Do you love the straying sheep? Amen. Oh, come on now. Do you love the sheep that stray? Yes. By the grace of God, may we have a mindset change. Rather than saying, you deserve it. By the grace of God, may we start praying for every straying sheep, and may we have a heart of compassion that we may ask God to help us. Lord, is there something you may want me to do to help to restore my straying brother? Although God will discipline his wayward sheep, he will never give up on them. Amen. He will never give up on them, for even a wayward sheep still belongs to the shepherd. Amen. Do you hear me? Even a straying sheep still belongs to the shepherd. Look back at verse 4 to 6 of Luke 15. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Can you sense the excitement? The sheep was lost. And oh, my friend, would to God that some straying sheep would come home today. There'll be joy in the house of the Lord if for some straying sheep who would come back.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.